Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, the host of the Donna Sebo Show, and wow, this is the new year. So many of you out there in the working world, you're ready. You've made your resolutions. You're saying, I'm ready to go. I want to get into a job that I'm really wanting to be involved with. I'm changing my life. I'm changing my working patterns. Well, we've got a guest today that has a marvelous book. He's a repeat guest on the Donna Sebo Show. His name is Martin Yate, and we're going to be talking about the ultimate job search guide. It's called Knock 'em Dead 2007. And welcome to the show, Martin.
Hi, Donna. Good to be with you again.
Well, it's absolutely a pleasure. You have a number of publications that have been put out. You've got one on resumes at Knock 'em Dead and cover letters at Knock 'em Dead. You've been involved as a career strategist and public speaker for over 30 years in the career management world. You have books that are published in 17 languages. You, in your previous positions in life, have been the National Director of Training for Dunn Health Personnel System Incorporated and the Director of Personnel for Bell Industries Computer Memory Division. And you live in Georgia. But you're a man that really has a passion for helping people get into finding that job that they want so earnestly. Give a little bit of background about why this has become such a passion for you, Martin.
I think you should get that guy on as a guest, Donna. He sounds really good.
You're it, Martin.
You know, it's a funny thing. You hear this. We start out in life and wonder what we're going to do when we grow up.
Oh, yeah.
Some of us choose our careers, but for I think more of us, the careers kind of find us.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about what I've been doing for 30 years, and I knew when I became a technology headhunter, when the first technology headhunters in Silicon Valley back in the early 70s, I knew first of all, gee, if I can do this, I'll always be able to find a job. And then I thought, gee, if I really know how this works, I can teach other people and I'll be able to work for myself one day. But to cast forward 30 years and you have a career, you spent your lifetime doing something in different areas of career management, it kind of passes overnight, and it's a shock to hear it fed back to you what you've been doing all these years. The great thing about it is, because I've been doing it for so long, and I've had an unusual experience that's allowed me to work on both sides of the desk, as it does today. I have one of the best-selling multinational books on employee selection called Hiring the Best. So I'm dealing with Fortune 500 companies as their guests all the time. So I have an ongoing and intimate relationship with what happens with people finding jobs and getting hired and getting ahead in life.
Our world has changed so much when it comes to hiring, when it comes to going out and looking for a job. On certain levels, it has just changed dramatically, and on other levels, it really hasn't changed much at all. And so we're going to be going into that, but we're also going to let our listeners know this applies to you whether you're getting out of college. We're going to touch a little bit about that. We're also going to be talking to those of you who maybe have entered into your 50s and 60s and you're saying, good Lord, I'm not ready to retire. I don't want to do what I've been doing. So how can I take my skills and market them? What do I do? How can I enter into this job market? We don't have the limitations in the job market to the same degree that existed maybe 20, 30 years ago. So your book, Knock 'em Dead 2007, The Ultimate Job Search Guide, is a very good tool to use. And I know you update this every year because I was chatting with you last year. Let's talk about a younger person for a moment.
Okay.
They are coming out of college. They have had this tens of thousands of dollars invested in their education, depending on where they're choosing to direct themselves. So many young people in college, they're all excited. They go, wow, the world is just waiting for me. And that's not a bad attitude, but the reality is...
Oh, the world owes me 11. Like Goofy in the cartoon.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, so let's start off with the college kids here. Now, I know you've got some basics with resumes. You've got so much wonderful, wonderful information in here. Let's get down to some of the realities of job hunting. You've come out of college. You've got this degree. You're hot. You're ready to go. You know that you know what needs to be known for that prospective employer. Where do we go?
I'll tell you something we're going to do to start off with, Donna. And this is going to be a real shock to everyone. It's really important today. I'm going to talk about digital dirt.
Okay. This is really going to require an education. Digital dirt?
Digital dirt.
Okay.
And that means you've heard of, it's been on the news all the time, things like MyFace and YouTube. This is where tens of millions of high school and college and 20-somethings are putting their online profiles and living in online communities. Well, when you're entering for the first time into the professional world, you have got to go back and remove all the digital dirt about yourself. For example, those photographs on my face of you projectile vomiting or other photographs that you wouldn't want your mom and dad to see. These have to go, because increasingly the world is Googling people before they meet. It's over 25% of the time when folks are meeting someone new in a business environment now, they Google them first to see what they can find about that person. So we have to manage our online personality, our online profile. And when we're coming out of the wonderful days of college for the first time, we've got to go and clean up the digital dirt, or it's going to come back and make us look messy.
That is amazing to me. And, of course, I'm a mature individual, so that is the last thing that I would have even considered that a young college student would have to do. But you're making sense, because so many of the young people are so adept at doing all of this different type of stuff on the computer, and they just love it. They're really into it, and it's a fun thing. Something like this could be discovered and slam dunk them.
And it also applies to upwardly mobile and mature professionals. Let me give you an example of this. And this is someone everyone should do at the start of a search. Google yourself. See what is said about you. I know someone who did this, and he found that his ex-wife, after a very bitter divorce, had bought his name as a domain name. So when you put his name into Google, the first thing you got, you went straight to a website, and all it was a page with some very disparaging comments about it.
Oh, no.
Now, what happened, and we all need to check this out, and if this happens to you, you go to that person, you ask them to remove it politely, and if you don't, you advise them that what they're saying will affect your employability, and you have the basis for a lawsuit, and you will take legal advice unless that website is down immediately.
Amazing.
These things do happen.
They do. And
the website was very funny, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
It was
wasn't funny to him.
No,
was it
wasn't
funny to him.
No, it's dreadful when we look at it in a serious light, but you have to see the funny side of it.
There is that reality of reputation. And that's the word I'll use. It may be considered an old-fashioned word, but that is what we considered reputation. And one of the things that I think is very prudent about what you're saying, you don't put out onto the web or any place any information that is going to cause the burning of bridges with people or is going to create an image of you that you really don't want demonstrated.
Whatever's on the Internet, whatever we put on the Internet, is public knowledge for everyone in the world. So we have to manage the impression we create online. And this is going to become an important issue. Donna, you and I talked 6 years ago, and we were talking about things like, you know, you want to apply for jobs via email because no one's doing it. It's a really good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mention that now, because if you don't have email, you don't know about computers, you don't know about the Internet, you're not working in the real world, so we don't talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
6 years from now, we're probably not going to be talking about this issue of having an online identity and managing it, because it's something we're all going to have to learn to do, and it's going to be one of those things we do in managing our career.
I think that is so important, and it is, again, that credibility factor. It is the very issue that you address when, and we won't go into it right at the moment, but addressing what kind of an image do you want people to have of you, and what kind of discrimination are you going to use so that what you put forward online is going to be the best representation of you that you possibly can give.
We're talking about a manifestation of the professional us rather than a sartorial, what we look like, how we dress.
The whole thing.
These are both interesting considerations. Well, the first thing we can do as a very basic thing is to create a home website for us, which will initially, when we're making a job change, it can, if you're doing a job change right now, it can just be your a resume, an electronic version of your resume that people can go to. So that when you want to apply for a job, you send an email cover letter, you can paste it in, or you can give them a link that they can click and go straight to a nicely laid out resume. Beyond that, you can design for yourself or have designed for you what is, in effect, the personal equivalent of a corporate website. Corporations have websites that position themselves as a company, identify their services and their products, and enable people to do business with them all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
In this modern world, we need to engage in a little bit of enlightened self-interest and think of ourselves as a financial entity, which we are, which has to survive over about a half a century work life, which we do. We're all in the middle of that work life now. So we can think of creating a persona for ourselves in the same way. So that online identity, it starts with a resume, but then it may grow. It may have photographs of us. It will talk about recent achievements. It will talk about activities that relate in some way to our professional selves. So it's a place where people can go and find out about us. The other good reason for having this online identity and having a biography about yourself, which when we're employed takes the place of the resume, and it will have all the same information in it, is it makes us visible because there are headhunters and corporate recruiters, and there are software tools that enable people who are recruiting to search the web for resumes. And if the right words are on your online resume, if the right words are on your online portfolio, on your biography, it will make you visible to recruiters and headhunters. And isn't it better to have the opportunity to say no to a job rather than never to hear about it in the first place?
Absolutely. So for those of you who are younger, who are coming into this new level of environment, you're going to be going out looking for a job. All of these things that have been mentioned are so important, but it applies not just to the younger person. There are so many people out there, Martin, who are in a job transitioning phase. Maybe they've been involved in nursing and they decide they want to be involved in the food industry or whatever. The options are endless. When you're making a change, when you're making a transition, all of these things are significant and they can seem rather overwhelming. But my goodness, we have more college graduates that are evolving from the age range of 40 up to 60 than at any other time in our history. So we've got a whole new grouping of experienced people that are wanting to move into new environments. Now, what would you say to the mature person that is investing in their college education and is wanting to shift over? All of these things you've mentioned are very good, but they are in a different positioning. They're highly experienced. How can they target the markets that they want to get into?
Well, I think it starts, first of all, Donna, with deciding, okay, I don't want to work in radio anymore because I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to go to bed before 2.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, gee, I want to become a banker, it's going to be difficult to find the connectivity. But how about we thought, what could I do? Where can I use some of these skills in another job? And we go, oh, wait a minute. How about advertising and public relations? Maybe I could work for a PR agency. Maybe I could work in PR or communications at a corporation. And here we've got a much easier segue to another job. So the first thing is to look at not just one new direction, but to look at a number of different directions. Maybe take some career aptitude tests to get a sense of direction. If you go to the knockemdead.com website and you go to the Internet Resources page and you look under career choice tests, there's a number of tests you can link, you can click right to. Some of them are free, some are $9 or $10. The very first one on that list is a real good test, and it costs you about $10. Really good for helping you identify the things you might be interested in. Now, once you've got a sense of direction, and let's say you've gone back to school, you've done some retooling, and it's now you're ready to go out and find a job, and you've got to create that resume. Well, how do we create the bridge? A couple of things we can do. One, we need to talk to people working in that field. Good idea is to take out membership in a professional organization. Again, you can go to the internet resources at Knock 'Em Dead and you can find out all the associations there. Join a professional association. Get to know people who are doing the job. Ask them what are the responsibilities of the job, what day-to-day work life is like. Another thing you can do is go to a government website called BLS, B for Brother, L for Love, S for Sam, .gov, and go to the Occupational Outlook Quarterly, and you can type in the name of a job. And it will give you a 20-page printout of what day-to-day life is like on that job. Third thing you can do, surf the internet, collect 6 job postings that carry the job title you're after, and then deconstruct it. Put them all onto one major job description so that you can look at that and say, when people are looking for accountants, for example, these are the job titles they use, these are the responsibilities they're looking for, and these are the skills they're looking for in order of declining importance, and these are the words they use to describe it. We can then, with a clear focus on the target job, we can look back into our work history and see what we do have that crosses over, and we'll have the words to describe it. And where we don't have the experience, what we can do is we can put an objective, a career or a job objective at the beginning of the resume, and we talk about and use the words that are used in that composite job description to say, looking for an opportunity to develop my skills in, and then we talk about the responsibilities of the job using the words it's described in. If we do this, it's going to make the resume come up more often on the internet electronic searches, and it's going to make it resonate in front of human eyes much more.
For those of you that have just tuned in to our show, Martin Yate is my guest. He has a marvelous book called The Ultimate Job Search Guide. It's called Knock 'Em Dead 2000, and over 5 million of these have been sold. Now, using the internet, there are many different ways to look for a job. The internet is one way, and I liked what you said about privacy issues in your book, and I'm going to read it directly. It's privacy issues within the workplace are in turmoil right now, so your company may be viewing your mail and your inbox as a security breach because others can read it. You could accidentally leave the browser open and your secure email could be accessed. Companies can check internet usage on your work computer through a variety of tracking tools, so play it safe. Set up a secure email and only access it from outside the workplace. This is so important. I've known of people who have had serious issues because they were out job hunting and using stuff from work, and they thought they had it secured, and lo and behold, they were blown right out of the water, and they ended up being fired.
You know, we think, oh, these silly young people, but it's not that. Donna, I have had a career coaching practice for 15 years, and I work with C-level people. That's chief technology officer, chief of this. This is the above the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys on the international stage. I can't tell you the number of these guys that think they can use company email and company telephones. And they tell me it's okay, and I flat won't talk to them. I say, I will not talk to you on a company telephone line, and I will not email you on a company email address. You
mm-hmm.
must set up a separate email address, and you want to have not just your personal email and your home telephone, because the kids are going to get on your computer. The kids are going to answer the stupid telephone. You set up a separate telephone line. Most telephone companies will give you an additional line with a different ring at no charge. Almost every email program out there will let you have up to 6 or 8 different email addresses. You can set up a separate email address that no one can get into except you, and you can keep that email address forever
mm-hmm.
as for career communications.
Mm-hmm. And that is so very, very important. And also with people, when they're doing this, they want to make sure that it is set off to, like you said, your own private setup, so nobody else is going to monkey around with it. You don't want that. And why take a chance on getting fired from your job if you're out job hunting? Why do you want to do that?
It's crazy.
It's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Let's talk about organizing job hunting and career management, the database.
Yeah.
Because I think, my goodness, when I was reading through your stuff, I thought, oh my word, how in the blue blazes is one going to have the time to organize all of this? Let's go into a little bit of that information.
It's so much easier today than it was just 5 or 10 years ago because of the Internet. The Internet is a wonderful tool for gathering information and for sharing information with others. So we will create our resume online. We will create letters online. We'll apply for jobs online. We'll find jobs online. First thing we do is we now, in the olden days, we would do a job hunt, and every job hunt we've done over the years is separate from the others. And there's nothing remaining from the past ones except an old useless resume. Now, I tell everyone, set up a folder on your desktop, call it career management. Everything you do to your career, goes in there, and you back that up all the time, and these are the benefits you'll have to it. One, you'll have a subfolder with your resume in. Two, you'll have a subfolder with cover letters in and follow-up letters and resignation letters and acceptance letters, all of which you can use on the next job hunt. Another folder will have all the job postings you find. Now, what typically happens is we apply for a job and we don't get it, so we trash the information we have about the company. I say save this information. Because whatever town you live in, if a company is hiring accountants today, they probably hired accountants this year and last year and the year before, and they'll hire accountants next year and the year after. That means if you're looking for a job a year, two, three, 4 years down the road, and you keep all the job postings from this job search, many, many of those companies are still going to be there, and you're going to have some idea of contact information, the kind of people they hire, their products and services, and the kind of skills they look for. You'll be ahead of the game next time. And what I try and do in Knock 'Em Dead is give you practical techniques for this job search, but do it in the context of career management, that this isn't the last time you're going to be doing it. So let's learn this time and make it easier for next time.
You bring up the point that standard procedures in the past have been radio advertising listings for jobs or for different things that go on, or you have newspaper, you have periodicals, you have professional publications that list jobs, and you go into a lot of it. You brought up one point that I found very, very interesting, and that was that if you find a job listing with a company, and I'll use the example of an accountant, and you go and you apply for the job, and they say, gee whiz, thank you very much, but we've already filled that position. We're not interested in you. We'll keep your resume on file. The typical thing that is often expressed to a person. And you say, don't throw away that information. Go back and keep a running file on places you've applied to because they may not be happy with that person. And I think of a gentleman that had a company who hired someone that had graduated from college, had a master's degree in business, was supposedly very skilled in accounting. Within 6 months after they were hired, they were fired because they were not competent. So here's a job positioning, and this individual is saying, now I've got to go through this whole process all over again. And if someone would you check back in 6 months or a year, you had one person, what was it, 18 months later, and he got a $90,000 a year job?
Yeah. Now, what the story is here is if there's a company that you really want to work for, and you go through the interview cycle, and you come in second, and you got on well with the company, and they say, hey, you know, it was great, we really liked you, but there was someone who had just a little bit more of this and a little bit less of that, you say, fine, and I'd like to keep in touch because I do want to join your team one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep in touch with the company. It's easy to do. You send them an email at the holidays, happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, whatever it is. You can also, if you see something about the company in the press or on the Internet, and it's easy to do press searches on Google now. You do a Google News search. I could forward this to you, Donna. Dear Donna, saw this in USA Today about your company. I wondered if you'd seen it. Best regards, Martin Yates. P.S. Still determined to be your next producer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low-pressure way of keeping my name uppermost in your mind.
That is a marvelous suggestion, and it's something we have so many things that are running about us. Martin, let's talk about the fact that in today's world, we are so very time sensitive. And here we are after the holidays. People are finally saying, oh, my goodness, we're past all of the hectic aspect of that. But the world is still evolving at an incredibly fast pace. What would you say to that person that is dealing with this fast pace? They're probably working. They have a family. How can you suggest to them that they handle this? Because job searching takes time, and they may not have 40 hours a week to dedicate to it.
Okay. There's a couple of things that we can do that make it much easier. I recommend everyone, it's January of the year, and this we could do this at any time of the year. I'm going to suggest everyone makes a New Year's resolution with me right now. And that resolution is, I am going to dedicate 30 minutes a week this year to getting a better control of my professional life. I'm going to learn about career management. I'm going to learn about job search. I'm going to get a resume that's up to date should I need a new job. And I'm going to get that resume up to date because it will help me get promotions within my company. And to do this, I'm just going to dedicate 30 minutes a week for it. And to do that, I'm going to give up one replay of Seinfeld. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to not watch one 30-minute segment of Seinfeld. And at the end of the year, I'm going to be in a much better position. Some of the things I'll learn very quickly. Doing a job search while you're at work. Well, if you find the right job sites, and that's another topic I address in the book of how you find out the job sites that are really going to work for you, they all have something called job agents, which means you tell them the kind of job you're looking for, the title, the details of it, and the geography, and they tell you when the jobs are posted. Now, or then all you've got to do is go to that job site every 60 days or 90 days to re-up your interest, and you can have an ongoing series of jobs coming in. There is now something brand new on the internet. There are things called job spiders. The days of starting your job search at monster.com are over. Now what you do is you go to a job spider like indeed.com, which is a great little site, and you type in the job you're looking for, and the town you want it to be in. And this job spider doesn't go to one job site, which maybe has a million jobs. It goes to thousands of job sites, and it goes to thousands of recruiter sites and thousands of corporate sites. This one I'm talking about, Indeed.com, loaded a million new jobs in the last week. They go everywhere for it.
Oh, my gracious.
So this makes it a lot faster.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Martin, we're almost out of time, and we could go on for hours talking about this. Your book, Knock 'Em Dead 2007, The Ultimate Job Search Guide, is a wonderful, wonderful resource. And whether you are a young person that is out there looking for a job, or you are a mature individual and you're saying, I want to get back in the workforce if you've been out of it, or maybe you finished your college education and you're saying, it's time for me now to go into that new venue that I've been wanting to be involved with, Knock 'Em Dead 2007 is an excellent publication. And also, Martin, your website is knockemdead.com, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And they can go there. There are aptitude tests that are available. There are other kinds of tests, and some of them have a small fee of like $9 or $10. All of this information is readily available. And, of course, all of my listeners are very computer savvy. So let me give that out again, knockemdead.com. Is there a thought you'd like to leave us with, Martin, before we close?
Yeah, Donna, there's something for people who are interested in making their professional dreams come true. On the 16th of this month, Tuesday the 16th at noon, on careerbuilder.com, I'm doing a one-hour seminar, a one-hour talk show. You have to register, and space is limited, so go and register now. And I'm going to talk about, for an hour, how to get promotions at work, how to get your resume in shape, how to conduct a job hunt while you're employed. I'm going to talk about how to make all those New Year career resolutions come true. So that's at careerbuilder.com. It's on Tuesday the 16th from noon till 1 Eastern. But you need to go and register to make sure you have a place there.
All right. So if that's noon to 1 Eastern, that means on the West Coast, that's 9 to 10 in the morning.
Yes.
And then in Central Time, then that would be 11 afternoon, because we have listeners all over the country as well as outside
the
country.
If you're on the West Coast, bring coffee and a bagel. If you're in the Midwest, bring your mid-morning snack. If you're
Absolutely.
On the East, brown bag lunch.
Absolutely. Martin, as always, it's a pleasure having you as a guest. And again, it's Tuesday the 16th, noon to 1 p.m. on CareerBuilder.com. That's when he's going to have this special one-hour program. Martin, thanks so much for being my guest.
Donna, great to be with you again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't you go away. Lots of good things to share with you today. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, our telephone lines are open, and if you would like to chat with me, I'd be delighted to share my insights with you intuitively. Give me a call here from the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And those of you in Canada that are listening, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And for everyone else, the direct line is 530-876-3222. Now, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and I'm happy to share with you what I perceive about you and for your life, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you desire. And I had someone call me the other day and ask me if I do private sessions. Of course I do. But if you'd like to chat with me on air, I also enjoy doing that. And we are going to have a fabulous guest tomorrow. Jim Farrell is going to be our guest. We're going to be talking about the anatomy of peace. And in this very turbulent time that we're living in, the words in this book, I think, are very profound and very heartwarming and also very inspiring. So the anatomy of peace we'll be talking about tomorrow. And then Louis Legrand is going to be my guest. Love Lives On. That's going to be on Friday. And we've just got so many wonderful, wonderful people that are going to be sharing their expertise, their experiences, their wisdom. And this is what makes life interesting, I feel. There are so many different perspectives, and without knowing these people, without talking with them, how are you going to know about options in life? So just be aware of that. Speaking about options in life, I would just like to say there are sometimes our moments when we just encounter people that absolutely drain us. Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been around a person when you first come in contact with them, you're just feeling so bubbly and wonderful and life is good, and then by the time you spend 15 minutes with this person, you feel like you've been drugged down to the mud flats of bottomless pit. It's terrible. And these people are so consistent in the way that they'll talk, in the way that they will present themselves in this, oh, it's a doomsday world, or oh, everything's so bad. And again, here you are, your bubbly self, and just feeling so absolutely marvelous about life and about what you're doing and what you're accomplishing, and then all of a sudden you feel like yourself turned around. Well, sometimes people like this are called energy vampires. I used to date a guy that was that way. And that was a long time ago, but you only need one in your lifetime, trust me. But when you're around somebody like this, they just seem to take everything out of you. And the interesting thing about these individuals is that you're down in the dumps by the time they finish with their presence in your space, and they're feeling great. And you go, something's wrong with this picture. Shouldn't it be that we all feel good by the time we finish interacting with each other? However, this is something that can happen many times, and you need to be consciously aware of it. And I like the term the energy vampires. It sounds rather dramatic, doesn't it? So if you don't want to be sucked into that situation, you've got to distance yourself from those kinds of people as much as possible. Now, that's not to say, you know, everybody goes through down moments in their life, and I just value my friends. I've got friends that I've known for over 40 years, and they're wonderful people, and we all have our moments, and we'll just say, hey, can I borrow your rubber ear for a minute? You just want to talk and talk and talk, not because you're trying to pull them down, just because you're venting. That's different from being around someone that is really going to, by the time you finish being in their presence, just sap everything out of you. And they do this over and over again. So you need to be aware of how these people work and that they have certain personality patterning. I've had members of my own family where that were of this disposition. And I find myself, and after being around them, I go, why do I even want to spend time with these people? By the time I finish with them, I'm not worth anything, and they're telling me how much I'm doing everything wrong, and that they know everything, and that my life is never going to amount to anything. And have you ever experienced somebody like that? Well, you want to do a couple of things. One, first of all, mentally, say to yourself, this is not going to be the prominent part of the conversation. I have the opportunity at some point to be able to shift the conversation to what I want to talk about. And if not, I can always leave. Two, you want to disarm them. Now, how can you do that? How can you cause them to go off track? Well, you can be thoughtful and pleasant with them, and you can also come back with positive rebuttals. And you may even have a comment like, gee, I'm so glad you shared your opinions with me. I'm really holding out the belief that you are really going to be able to see how to work this out for yourself, and or you're going to be better soon. Now, we have to pay attention because sometimes we can be that energy vampire. Uh-huh. And if you find that everything that is coming out of your mouth is a downer, if you're just mouthing negativity, then you need to recognize it is your mouth, your attitude, your thoughts that's getting in the way. So you want to bring yourself out of that. You have to be consciously present with where you are. And you want to choose to focus on what is good and possible in your life. I know in my newsletter that I just sent out, which, by the way, will be up within probably 24 hours. My webmaster is putting it up. And if you want to see it, it's titled Bliss. And it's all about following your bliss. Now, Joseph Campbell came up with that statement. However, what I want to say is bliss is more than what often we think is something being giddy. It's not that at all. It's joy. It's satisfaction. It's contentment. So if you want, go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and within 24 hours, it'll probably be up, and it's the newsletter for January. But I wanted to start off this newsletter with that kind of a positioning of mental and emotional attitude, because we have to be the master of our own dominions, of our own space, first and foremost. before we start worrying about anybody else, we have to take our positioning, take care of ourselves. Kathleen Miller, who is from Glendale, Arizona, made a comment. She said, if I don't think there is a way, then I need to change the way I think. Let me repeat that. If I don't think there is a way, then I need to change the way I think. And many times negative thinking is a patterning, it's a habit we get into. So we have to take charge of our mind. We have to take charge of who we are. And here we are at the beginning of a new year, and maybe 2006 was terrible. Maybe you had sick relatives, or you had all kinds of various things that occurred to you. Life happens. Get past it. That sounds rather harsh, but I really mean it. Because every day is a brand new day. This is a new day in your life. This is a day for a new beginning. This is a day for your opportunities that maybe you've wanted. And something else I want you to be aware of. You may have something come out of the blue that's going to be so positive for you. So absolutely positive. And if you're not in that state of mind of receptivity, how are you going to be able to accept it? You're just not going to be able to do it. Why? Because you're going to be so stuck in the fact that maybe you have been a victim or this, that, or the other happened. No, no, no. This is your life. This is where you are right here, right now. So again, stop by my website, check out my newsletter. Again, it'll be up within 24 hours for those of you on my mailing list. I know you've already gotten it. If you'd like to be on my mailing list, send me a note to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And we'll be happy to put you on the mailing list, and then you'll get your copy every month. And you'll be able to see the latest things that are going on, the appearances. And by the way, I am going to be traveling up to Alaska for those of you that are listening in Alaska. I'm going to be making a trip both to Fairbanks and to Anchorage. And all of that is posted on my in my newsletter. And it will be up on my website. And also, it is going to be something that will be sent out in the mail as well. So anyway, Donna Sebo here. And just remember, you can make changes. You can do a lot of things in your life. You are the boss, and that is so very, very important. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322 if you're in Canada, or direct 530-876-3222. And again, that's for those of you that might want to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. There are so many people. We were talking earlier about jobs and about ways that we can do things. And in our world today, becoming an entrepreneur is so very, very special. And so many of us have a desire to do something very special, very unique, that is going to really make a difference in life. Well, I'm going to be talking about a lady who has done exactly that. And so after the break, I'll be sharing her story with you, how she started a business that she never, ever believed was possible. So again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Also, I wanted to share with you today how, if you're interested in saving money, and who isn't interested in saving money? My goodness, we're all interested in saving money. And there's a gal, she's a financial expert, April Bourbon, and she has a wonderful newsletter called the Dollar Stretcher Newsletter, and you can find out about it by going to her website, stretcher.com. That's stretcher.com. And you're going to find out all kinds of things that she lets people know about so that you can save some money. And she said, you know what, there's just some practical things you need to know about. And if you want to save for home, how do you save money on that? Well, deadbolt, smoke alarms, basic things that we all should know about. She said they're real, real easy. Now, how it saves you money, it's going to cost you maybe about $20 each for each of those, but it saves you about $35 a year within your insurance company, maybe even more. Some insurance companies, when you have extra burglary or fire protection, take additional percentages off for that, and it's going to be a good thing to have. It may save your house from burning to the ground sometime, or a burglar even coming into your house. Burglars don't particularly care to go into places generally that have alarms. They prefer not to bother with those. How about preventative medical and dental care? That can save you big bucks by helping you avoid problems or nipping them in the bud. Well, good common sense should dictate that. But you know what? If you have regular checkups, you might avoid ending up in an emergency room or having to have urgent dental care. And it can save you potentially thousands of dollars if you have an attitude of prevention for your own physical wellness, gum disease, blood pressure, all kinds of things. Being attentive, being pro-wellness for yourself is really good. Well-running car, proper car maintenance, it'll be more gas efficient, and that could save you hundreds of dollars a year, and maybe even thousands on repair. And also, the smarter appliances. Go to energystar.gov, energystar.gov, and you'll find it saves your energy costs. That'll save you hundreds of dollars during the year. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to break. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. From Canada, 888-810-8322 or 530-876-3222. Well, I mentioned I was going to talk to you about a lady. Her name is Molly McFadden, and Molly lives in Michigan. Now, she lives in Midland, Michigan. That wasn't a place that she ever thought she would be living in. But due to circumstances, her husband, who was building a new company, that's where they ended up, and she made friends with a neighbor when they were first moving in. They said, oh, you're just going to love it here. Well, Molly had come from New York, and if you've ever been in New York City, oh, my goodness, there's just so many wonderful things in New York. Restaurants, and it's got a pulse all of its own. It's so dynamic and so powerful. New York's just such a wonderful place. And Molly, when the neighbor said, gee, Molly, you're going to miss all of those fancy restaurants and all of the things in New York. Nothing else, but you're going to miss that. Now, we've got a caller, so we're going to go to this caller, and then I'll tell you the rest of Molly's story. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
E.A. from Tacoma.
I see, A. Now, Happy New Year to you, by the way.
Thanks, you too.
Now, C.A., what I am looking at with you right off the bat is, hon, you've got to have some patience here. You're not as organized in working towards what your primary objectives are as you should be. And you need to have some time because I'm seeing so many various conditions, people, circumstances pulling on you, and it's like you're saying, I'm pooped. I just don't have any energy to give to me. And after, you know, the first of a new year, that's not a surprise in some respects, but this has been going on for a while. So I think you need to have some time that's just CA time. That's just your time. And you need to be able to really quiet yourself down, not have the television on, not have anything on, but just be quiet and really look at where you want to put your focus and what you feel you've got to take care of sooner rather than later. And if you can get that organization in place, you're going to find that you are so much more satisfied, fulfilled, and you're going to feel like you've got a grip on the discord that seems to come in and out of your space. Sometimes you feel like your environment of self is like Grand Central Station. It's like anybody and everybody that knows you goes, oh, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time or whatever? You may need to learn how to become disciplined about this and say to someone, say, I don't have the 5 minutes now. Can you call me at another time? Because this week I just don't have any time available. It's amazing how things will adapt. And if you're like me, where you say, oh, my goodness, I'm so busy, and you are busy, you may want to stop and shift your thinking, and I've been doing this myself lately, and saying, I have the time I need to accomplish what I want. It's a shift in thinking. You need to make that okay, because you have got so much in your activity level for this year on so many different, I'll use the word levels again. You are going to find you have to have this organization. If you don't, dare, you're going to feel like you're chasing your tail all the time.
Yeah, that
sounds
exactly
a little crass,
how I've been feeling.
Great
advice. That's exactly how I've been feeling.
Give yourself some time. Do you have any time that you can give yourself this weekend where there's nobody around and you can just, you know, just hang out in your slippers, bathrobe, and drink hot chocolate?
Sounds good.
What's your question for me?
My builder just came over and we went over house designs. We pretty much finalized the designs for our new house that I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you had any advice for me just so I could be a little proactive.
Well, without seeing plans or something like this, I don't know that I would be able to give you insight. I would say you've got to be sure that the flow in your house is the way that you want it. Let me use a different terminology, traffic flow.
Okay.
And let's say you were going to have 30 people over to your house. Let's just use this scenario. And you were going to have a party. How is your floor plan arranged so that if you were to have 30 people, that there would be a flow from the living room through the kitchen, through the dining room, through the entry hall? How is it going to move?
Okay.
How does it move? Are you able, if you want to block off a certain section, able to do that without causing an impact to certain areas? And it's the same thing, let's say you had a two-level house with the upstairs. Are you going to have effective soundproofing? So let's say you had company over and they wanted to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching television. Is that sound going to be coming up the walls? Are you going to have sound insulation in your place? With your guest rooms, how are your guest rooms? If you're going to have, let's say you had a four-bedroom house. And again, I'm just tossing out concepts for you.
No.
If you had a four-bedroom house and you had the bedrooms, you know, two bedrooms on one end and two bedrooms on the other end, were you going to want to convert any of those into offices? If so, do you have your wiring up? If you're going to have the guest bedrooms, how is it insulated from sound? And is there a bathroom located conveniently so they can have access to that full-size bathroom? You know, these are just things, these are simple things, but
things
I really find, and this is just my particular awareness, that there's a lot of subtle things that you need to ask yourself about. And you need to ask maybe some friends with their own homes, what is it that you love about your home? What is it that you hate about your home? And get their feedback. It might be that every time somebody flushes the toilet upstairs, you can hear it down in the kitchen.
Okay.
So maybe the pipes need to be wrapped. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's all good to take into consideration, so I'm not sorry afterwards.
Now, you live in Tacoma, Washington. Another consideration is a moisture barrier underneath the house.
Oh.
And one of the biggest problems in the Pacific Northwest, it's also in Colorado and in a number of other states, but especially in the Pacific Northwest, because of our high level of moisture, you have mold problems. So how do they deal with that? How are they going to, you know, insulate the walls? What are they going to do? What can you do? How can you, if you're going to have a two-level home, insulate it so sound doesn't travel up through the floors? If somebody walks across this floor, it doesn't sound like something from Inner Sanctum.
Right. Okay. Oh, great advice.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Donna.
Take care.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and my goodness, we are out of time. I'll have to finish my story about Molly tomorrow. So don't fail to tune in, and be sure and tell your friends about the show. Remember also that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's a great day, great day to be alive. Realize nobody on this planet is anything like you, and I'm so glad you're sharing your time with me. Tune in tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about The Anatomy of Peace with Jim Farrell. God bless. Have a fabulous day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.